Brother Charles, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for having the privilege again of meeting together. Hear our brother speak Thy words unto us. We desire that Thou bless him so that he may be refreshed and strengthened as Christians in the inner man. We desire, gracious Father, that in everything we do, he may do it so that Thy name may be glorified, that whatever we do may be done in the name of Jesus. We realize that we are not our own, but are bought with a price, and we should glorify Thee and our Master in our bodies and our spirits, which are Thine. We realize that we have nothing that we can be proud of, that all that we have has been given to us. And so, gracious Father, we want in our daily lives to realize this and to live lives of complete obedience and consecration unto Thee. Gracious Father, we desire that Thou wilt bless Thee with those of our brethren in every place. We realize that they are going through difficulties, and we realize they need Thy care and Thy strength, especially in these times when the pressure is so great, when Satan is realizing that he has but a short time and is wreaking so much havoc in this earth. We pray, gracious Father, for this kingdom which will eradicate evil from this earth and bring this human race back into harmony with Thee. And we are glad, gracious Father, that we have the opportunity of having a part in this great work. So we pray that we may bend our energy to making our calling and election sure, so that we may be faithful and become a part of the great High Priest and Mediator. Forgive our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brethren, we're very glad to have Brother and Sister Patience with us today. And, of course, as our custom, we like to get everything as long a run for our money as possible. So we do really do work our speakers. So he has consented very graciously to bring us another message this afternoon. He had a wonderful message this morning, and I'm sure that he will have another very timely message for us this afternoon. He's going to speak to us tests on the subject, tests of your faith. So now I'll turn it to Brother Fascius.
Have I heard you the subject announce what?
Test of your faith.
The trial of your
trial.
Faith.
Trial.
The trial of your faith.
Read them all in writing. Nobody else can read them. You've got to work and read it myself.
Well, brethren, our topic will be based this afternoon on the words of Peter in the first epistle, the first chapter, in the seventh verse. And for a reason that you will understand as we go on, all our quotations from the Bible this afternoon, I mean of the New Testament, will be from the Dialogue. And there is a reason for it, because in the King James Version, this verse here, it starts, so that the trial of your faith. But in the Dialogue, it is rendered much better, according to the meaning of the original, that the proof of your faith. may be being much more precious than that gold which perishes. So it is rather the proof of your faith that we will speak on those lines. Now, faith is important, but also what kind of faith is also important. Faith is not a lacking in this world. If you study the subject carefully, you will find many people in many of these denominations in existence that have faith. And many of them, they have dedicated their lives in what they believe to be the faith of God. In other words, the faith on the Bible. Many people that are Catholics, they are consecrated to their faith, and they spend their life in trying to perform what the church teaches. They go out into the... I can see.
There's a glass of water back there, I'm sorry.
They go out into the heathens and try to convert the heathens to their religion. And in doing so, they really have dedicated their lives in what they believe to be their faith, the true faith according to their belief. The Protestants is the same way. So having any faith is not enough unless you have or we have the faith that comes from God. Otherwise, we are working without any wages, so to speak, for nothing. Because in the end, the Lord says, I don't know you. So it is necessary that we have the faith that comes from God. Now, in the Bible, we find this scripture in Mark, the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. Again, we go to the dialect, but still, I will refer you to the word for word translation, because sometimes in the rendering on the site, the plain English, the translators have tried to make the best according to their judgment. How it is supposed to be rendered. Now, in Mark, the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse, in the King James and also in the dialect here on the side, in the plain English, it says, and Jesus answered, answering said to them, have faith in God. But then turning into the word under linear, word for word translation, you notice it says, have you faith of God? And it's a different. It's one thing to have a faith, and it's another thing to have the faith of God, the one that comes from God. So it isn't only the thing that we have some kind of a faith, any kind of a faith, in something. That is not the story. It is the only faith that will be rewarded if it is the one that comes from God. And this is important for every one of us. It isn't only that we sacrifice. It isn't only that we believe in something. Believing in something, the whole world believes in something. But the idea, the thought is that we believe in the Word of God, in the truth. Otherwise, we have no reward. If we do any word, no matter how much sincere we are, and sincerity is not lacking in among denominations, you cannot say they're whole hypocrites. There are quite a few hypocrites, that's for sure. But many of them are sincere, and they are dedicating their lives and sacrificing their lives in missionary work, and they've died out there in many privations and sufferings on account of their faith. And so it is important that we have the faith of God, or the one that comes from God. In the original, in the Greek, can be taken on both ways. That is, according to the expression, have the faith that God has, or having the faith that comes from God. It is rendered in such a way that you can apply it both ways. Both ways is true. God has a faith or confidence in himself and what he's doing, that all things were together for good, the way he wanted, to suit him, to hit his plan, his goodwill, and all that. And what we want is the faith that comes from God and have confidence in him. And so also you find in Romans, the third chapter, in the third verse, there we read, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief annul the..." Now, it's supposed to be the faith of God. Now, here it says, in the word for word, rather in the side in there, where it says, "Will their unbelief annul the fidelity of God?" But if you look in under lineal word for word translation, you'll find, "Will not the unbelief of them the faith of the God make void?" In other words, it speaks about the faith of God. If man does not believe God, does that mean that God's faith will be annulled, will be cancelled, will be null and void? No, it won't. So here, then, it is interesting for us, brethren, it is important also that we not only have faith. Many people have faith, but on what we have faith, and what kind of faith we have, whether we have the faith that comes from God. This is a very, very important. And in this then, brethren, we read in Romans again, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, the apostle says, "So then faith comes from a report, and the report through the word of God." Now, if you notice in the again in the interlineal translation, again on the side in where it says, "Then the faith from hearing, and the hearing through the word of God." You see, now the unless you have a faith that has come through the word of God, this is the faith that will count and be rewarded in the end. Just to believe in something, That's not important, really, sometimes. It's to believe on what comes from God. It's the only way that we can be rewarded and be worthy of reward. To have just faith, as I have mentioned, you can go in all these denominations. Yes, they are hypocrites, but there are very many sincere that have faith. And they showed by the conduct of their lives in sacrificing themselves out in what they believe to be God's will. And we know that it isn't God's work and what they're doing, because they are misinformed. It is therefore, brethren, important, because actually, the life of a Christian is a life of faith. And it is exactly in this point where the devil is using all his efforts to ruin it, to nullify it, to make it so that it's unacceptable in the sight of God. It isn't Satan important to him that you have a faith. It is what kind of a faith you have that is important to him. And he wants you to believe anything, so just so it isn't the word of God. And as I believe in the past, some time ago, in our visit here, I've spoken to you on a subject of substitution. And Satan have substituted the word of God. He didn't tell man, "Don't believe in God, don't believe in anything." Oh no. He's not interested in that. Just so men not believing in the word of God. And so he substituted God's word with his own. And so man has faith, plenty of it. You'll find them sacrificing themselves. And in the past, people really have died in what they believe to be their faith. And yet we know there is no reward. Not that they will not be really rewarded on account of their sincerity in the future, in the kingdom, when they realize the truth and accept it, will be easy for them, but they will not be a part of the kingdom. If you have read a book by the title Fox's Book of Martyrs, it tells you there's something like 70 million have been murdered during the gospel age on account of their faith, either and by sword or by fire, what have you. And as they were being led to the fire, they were cheering one another and saying to themselves, to one another, "Cheer up, brother, in a few minutes we will be with the Lord." They were believing in the immortality of the soul. They were believing in the Trinity. They were believing in those things that the Bible does not teach. And the Bible, what the Bible teaches, like the high calling, they knew nothing about the high calling. Not at all. And so if sincerity, if it was counted as important, it is important, but without the truth it's not. If sincerity alone without the truth was important, you and I, we would have been not here called today to have any hope of sharing with the Lord in the kingdom among the 144,000. It would have been filled long time ago. Therefore, it is important, brethren, that we not only believe, but on what we believe. It is important. And in this point, we will be tried and will be tested. And we are tried and we are being tested. And let us prove that we are suffering for the truth, that whatever we go through in our efforts to serve the Lord, that it is the truth and nothing else but the truth. Because working for it is not the truth, then we will not not have a reward. Now, in the subject of a Christian, his life is a life of faith. You remember the Apostle Paul writing into the Hebrews in the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. He writes to the brethren, is, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And it is a life of faith, and on that point we will be tried and tested unto the end. Now, we are living in a time now, in this age, what is called the Laodicean period of the church. That's the end of the age. And the message of the Lord to Laodicea, and as it's found in the book of Revelation, in the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, is, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now, what is lukewarmness? It says here, and it is translated properly, in Greek, kleros means and lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. It means that one has a form of religion, but denying the power thereof, as it is expressed in another place in the Bible. And so we have to be either hot and acceptable to the Lord, or lukewarm or cold. And the Bible says here, "Thou Lord, so I will spew thee out of my mouth." And that is something that we don't want happen to us, anything like it at all. We're living in a spirit, brother, now of formality. You know, in this world, Christianity is nothing more than formality. They got a religion. They go to church on Sunday. And that's all. They think they have done their duty. Like a Catholic, I was heard on a woman one day speaking about her church and comparing it with the other religions. And she says, that's what I like about my religion. She says, I go to church on Sunday and forget about for the rest of the week. And that's all. And that's not the religion of a true Christian. He is consecrated, dedicated to the Lord 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in other words. It's not only to be a looker. Now, let us realize this, that we are in the school of Christ. And we are to be developed for the kingdom. Let us realize this. And as we go along, we have to learn our necessary lessons. And just as in a literal school, the youngster goes through the process of learning, then comes a day of examinations to learn how much, to prove how much he has learned. And so it is, brethren, with us. We go through schooling, and then comes the examination, and we'll prove whether we have learned, and if we have to be graduated, so to speak. And none of us will receive the reward, none of us will receive what we hope to get, unless we go through and prove ourselves worthy of it. And in our days, particularly in this country where we live, the trial and the examination not necessarily will be somebody with a sword over us telling us either you refuse what you believe or I'm going to cut your head. They used to do that in dark ages, you know. And in some places now in Europe, the brethren are risking their life or jail sentences and so forth with their faith. And here in this country, we are free. None, I don't expect that anybody will come here and threaten us with our lives, to take our lives for what we believe. But try it, we will be, brethren. We will be tried, one way or the other, to prove our faith. Let us not be mistaken on this. And let us first make sure that what we believe is the Word of God. That our faith comes from God. And then that we have comply with it. That the examination will come to prove us in one way or the other. Now, the Lord will permit sometimes some errors to creep in that we be tried to see who can differentiate between truth and error. And in this we have to be very careful that we hold the truth and not anything that is error, no matter who says it. Now, this is important in all respects, character development, and also faith, what we believe. Because when it comes to character, many people are very, very well advanced in that. Like many people have faith, many people have patience, many people have love. I mean, in Christianity. But lacking the truth. And so all this are necessary. But having the truth and not applying to ourselves will be of no help. And then applying to ourselves error again is no help. So we want the truth, and we want to apply it in our lives daily and be acceptable in God's sight. And so we think we have patience, and the Lord will bring a test with a brother or a sister. Probably they'll step on our toes, and how we react. Sometimes we pop out and say, I lost my patience. No, really, you didn't lose it. You didn't have much. You know, and it just evaporated. Went out when the test came. That's what happens. And then we say we have love and all those things. Well, humility, all those graces of the Spirit. There'll come a time into each and every one of us that we will be tested. And we will prove ourselves. And when we have proven them, then we get the stamp of approval. You see, just like children at school, they go through schooling, then comes the day of examination to prove what they have learned. And then when they pass the examination, the teacher stamps their stamp of approval on it. May say just passed. You know, it's okay. And so it is with us. We say we have love. Okay. The Lord will bring something between the brethren to test your love. How much love you have? Only in words? How about when it comes to being suffering and sacrificing? And that is when love really manifested itself. Not just in words. Then if you pass this examination, then you will get the stamp of approval. You have patience? Yes. And then the Lord will permit somebody to test your patience. And then, have you ever heard this? I run out of patience. I can't take it no more. Yes. I've heard that many times of different brothers or sisters. That is, there's so much they could take up from a brother or a sister and no more. Well, that was their trial. That is according to what I can see, brethren. And then we have to go through the test in every part of our character development. And this is what Peter says in this word in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and the seventh verse that I read it to you, I believe in the beginning. It says that the in the King James Version it has it that the trial of your faith, but in the Dialogue it has it so that the proof of your faith being much more precious than that of gold which perishes, through proven by fire, may be found to praise and glory and honor and at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this speaks about the trial, that is the proof that comes as a result of your trial. Now here is, let us read from the sixth verse. In which be you glad, though you for a little while, since it is necessary, you are distressed by various trials. Notice here, reading from the Dialogue, you are distressed by various trials. And then it gives the reason in the seventh verse. So that the proof of your faith. The trial comes to prove your faith. And mine. Let's word it. To prove our faith. And then when you withstand and you go through the trial properly, then you get the stamp of approval. Now, it is important here, of course, you don't know the Greek language. Here, the Apostle Paul is using a word that is translated here, proof. The Greek word is dokimion, and it is it has the thought of substance, something that you can show to others. And let us illustrate this, and I believe that you will understand it, what I want to say. A doctor goes to school first. My brother Cook will cooperate on this and say, yes, that's what happens. He goes to school first, and he learns, and then he gets through his examinations. And when he passes this examination, he gets his diploma. Now, his diploma is authorizing him to practice, but it is also the evidence of his ability, that he went through schooling. That's his proof. Now, in the Greek, this is the word that they use, dokimion. That means he went through the test and got the stamp of approval. This is the thought behind the Peter has used in this verse. You go through the test, and you're passing it, and you're getting the stamp of approval. And this is more precious than the gold that perishes, like it is the diploma to a doctor or to any man who studies to graduate and practice his profession. His diploma is the one that will show that he's able or capable to practice what his profession is. And so it is with us, brethren. We go through schooling? Yes. But comes a testing, when you and I will have to prove our faith. And we'll have to receive the stamp of approval. And if we don't, then we will not be capable of reigning with Christ, be approved as part of his body to reign with him. And so then we have to prove ourselves. Now, and that is exactly, brethren, what it is, the stamp of approval. This is the thought behind this word, the dokimion, or the proof of your faith. Something to show that you have a faith. Now notice, for instance, in the past, we'll not take the time to go in the Old Testament where so many are good examples for us. Now you take Abraham. He had faith? Yes. But he had to get the stamp of approval from God. And when he did that, it was when he obeyed God to offer up his son as a sacrifice. That was the time when he proved his faith, and God sets his stamp of approval on him. And you take it. Every other that the people of God, our Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. The suffering, the trial, the testings, all those things are necessary for us to prove our obedience and our faith to the Lord. Now you have also others in the Bible. We have Stephen. In the Bible says he was full of faith. Yes, and he proved it by sacrificing himself in the service of the Lord and being stoned to death. Now you have Paul also. Well, if we go on naming them, you'll find so many that are good examples for us in the Bible. Now, what we are interested, brethren, is that we have God's approval. in whatever we do. It isn't a question of doing something. It is the question to do the acceptable thing. Let us realize this. It isn't a question of just wasting your time thinking that you're serving the Lord, like the different denominations do. It isn't a question of believing to something. Make sure what you believe and what you do, I mean including myself, what we do, it is the will of God. And because, like the Apostle Paul says, none is counted unless he run properly and according to the rules, in other words. And then we will go through in all those things, and we will be tested in every respect. Now, we'll have a few words along those lines. Again, a few scriptures, and we will read them from the Diaglot. In 1 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter and the 19th verse, we read, "For it is necessary that there should be factions among you, so that the approved may be apparent among you." Now notice here what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us. He told the Corinthians then, and it is applicable to us today. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter and the 19th verse. "For it is necessary that there should be factions or divisions." If you look under the word for word interlinear translation, also heresies, and here it is factions in the English, and so heresies means difference of opinion. Different doctrines will come in, and to show to the approved may be apparent or manifested. It should be, as you notice here, and the under word is manifest. The approved ones be made manifest. Now here is the whole thing in a nutshell, brethren, according to as I can see here in the Bible. The Lord permits certain doctrines to creep in among his people. With one thought behind it all is to test each and every one of us, whether we have faith in the Word of God or we have faith in traditions and ideas of men. Let us realize this. He says it is necessary that there should be factions among you, so that the approved may be apparent or manifested among you. Now, we have this right in our day. That is not only testing our faith, that is doctrinally, but is testing our love towards one another. And that is the bad part of it. We prove, many of us, that we have not developed the necessary love. If we disagree with a brother or a sister, we treat them cold. And in some cases, they separate and refuse to have any fellowship with one another. Brethren, I'll say this. I don't look on those things, separations or suffer, favorably. I can see them as I understand the Word of God. And because they will not be approved by the Lord. Those things, they creep up to test our love, to test our development in Christ-like character, so that the approved may be manifested. Approved mean those that have developed themselves in the Christ-like character. And then we go on in the 2 Timothy 2:15. It's a well-known scripture that the Apostle Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed. Have you ever stopped to think, brethren, the depth of the meaning of these words of the Apostle Paul? Story to show thyself approved unto God. That to receive God's approval. And who receives God's approval? The one who causes dissensions? One who treats his brother coldly just because it differs in some minor points of doctrine? When fundamentally we all in agreement, we all have dedicated, consecrated ourselves to do God's will and make our calling and election sure, and because we disagree in some minor differences of some time, that is nothing more than viewpoints. Brethren, let us realize the danger and the situation in which we're in, that we really be seeking daily to have the approval of God. And the approval is with us. We will not cast a brother out just because it differs with him for some minor points. And then we have in James 1:12, another scripture that speaks again about approval. In this verse, James said, "Happy the man who endures a trial, because having become an approved person." Now this is from the Diaglot, and it is translated as it should be. "Happy the man who endures trial, because having become an approved person, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to those who love him." Now notice here, the wording, the thought behind in every expression. Happy the man who endures trial, testing, because having become an approved person. You see, this gives the reason of these trials, to test us. And how we're going to meet those trials will reveal whether we'll be approved or disapproved. Having become, it says, an approved person, but he will not become an approved person if he doesn't meet those trials as he should be, in the proper spirit. A trial comes in between, for instance, two brethren, brothers and sisters, sometimes difficulties and trouble comes in between. Did you ever stop to think, brethren, that this is a trial, how you will take it, and how you're going to go through, how you handle it, whether you'll be approved or disapproved by the Lord? And the Lord will not approve those, really, who seek their own, and sometimes will cause divisions. No, in my estimation, he will approve those who will do their best to keep peace and harmony, even at the sacrifice of their own personal pleasures and suffering. It is those who put down their lives for one another that they will receive the approval. And here James says that happy the man who endures trial. Endures means the one who suffers. And because having become an approved person, he will be receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to those who loved him. Yes, every trial, every testing has a tendency to prove us whether we really love the Lord and love the brethren. Again, in Romans 5th chapter and the 3rd and 4th verse, we read in the writings of Paul, "And not only so, but we triumph also in afflictions, knowing that affliction works out endurance, and endurance approval, and approval a hope." What a wonderful sequence in this line of thought. We are, he says, we triumph also in afflictions, knowing that affliction works out endurance. When you suffer, it is a test of your endurance. Sometimes those afflictions, those sufferings, it doesn't end in a day and two and goes on and on. And here is the test. And then it says on then, in endurance, approval. The approval will come if you really endure, not if you revolt and quit. No. It is the endurance that brings the approval. This is the sequence here. And approval brings hope. Oh, yes. And when you suffer for the Lord and His people, then you have hope. That comes in aromatically. The Lord permits it. And you know it. The Lord arranged it that way. And then, again, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, the Apostle Paul writes, I have maintained the good contest. I have finished the race. I have guarded the faith. And it remains that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has given, will give, in as the righteous judge will give to me in that day, not only to me, but also to all those who have loved His appearance. But notice here, he speaks about the finishing the race and maintaining a good contest. In other words, I have fought, it is in common King James Version, the good fight of faith. Now, time, brethren, does not permit us to go into this detail. Let us realize, that is, go into all the scriptures along this line of thought. Let us realize this. God will reveal to us and to others who we are. Maybe you have never given a thought along those lines, that the Lord first reveals to us. Most of the times in the beginning, if we are wide awake, where we come short, to correct ourselves. And if we don't correct ourselves, the Lord will manifest to others who we are. They'll bring up the circumstances in such a manner to reveal ourselves. I'll give you an illustration from in the ancient Greeks philosophers that covers the subject pretty good. You know, as I mentioned, I believe this morning, they were not really always this fellows in love. They were jealous about one another. And so one time, two of them got together and they were talking about a third one. And one of them said in the conversation, oh, he couldn't tell the difference between a dog and a sheep. In other words, he considered him dumb. Well, the other fellow got an idea. He says, oh, that's a good idea. We'll try him. He says, we'll take a dog and dress it like a sheep. And take them to this man and ask him to tell the difference and see if he's smart, whether he knows which one is the dog and which one is the sheep. So they pick up a dog in the same size like the sheep and dress it in a sheepskin to look like a sheep. So they take the two sheep that look one dog, of course, and one sheep, but they both look like sheep. And they went to this man's house. And they went and walked in with what looked up the appearance of two sheep. At the time, this man was eating lunch. And he was chewing on a bone, meat. And so they greet him and says, now you are a philosopher. Tell us which one of the two is a dog and which one is the sheep. So the man didn't say a word. He just threw the bone where the sheep was. And you know what happened. The dog died for the bone and revealed itself. He didn't have to say a word. And so it happened, brethren, with us. That's how God permits circumstances to come in between us, or in among with the world. And therein we reveal ourselves, our makeup. You ever heard of bones of contentions? You know, the Lord permits a bone to come in between us, you know, bones of contention. And those who have the characteristics of the dog, they grab him, you know, and growl him. And they start a fight. Now that, we have to be careful on those lines. Now let us remember that all these trials, they have their purpose to test us. In one way or another. To reveal us. And revealing we will be in His sight. If we have enough patience, if we have enough love, and all those fruits of the Spirit, we will be revealed. Sometimes, you know, we say, I lost my patience when something happens. No, really, you didn't lose anything. You didn't have enough. That's the trouble, you know. We don't have enough sometimes. And the trial comes, and we have no patience. And let us realize that what happened, the Lord want us to know that we haven't any patience. We haven't any love. Brings the circumstances and makes us know. If we are learning easy, and we'll see before others really sometimes that we don't have enough love or don't have enough patience or don't have enough faith or don't have enough of any other of the fruits of the Spirit. But if we don't, if we're stubborn, everybody will know it. Because the circumstances, this is the trial of your faith. To prove, the proof of your faith will have to be manifested. The proof of your character development. That is the thought behind here. Will come and reveal us to others. So let us then, brethren, develop this Christ-like character. Let us develop this fruits of the Spirit. Now, I'd like to. I didn't look. What time have we started?
We have plenty of time. We don't have a deadline this afternoon.
Okay, brother. In the Second Corinthians. In the 5th chapter, in the 10th and 11th verses, we have a statement then by the Apostle Paul that in the King James Version and in the Diglot even, it is not translated properly. You see, when those things were translated, the belief of the translator influenced his writings. Now, in the 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, in the 10th verse, we read, "For we must all appear before the tribunal of the anointed." This is from the Diglot. "So that each one may receive the things through the body according to what was performed, whether good or bad." Now, many read this verses, and they get the thought that someday in the future, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as it is recorded in the King James Version. Here we read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." Now, reading this casually, as it is recorded here, it gives the thought that we sometime in the future, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one will receive his reward according to the things done in the body, good or bad. Now, when you take it that way, it contradicts the other scriptures that says that the church will be resurrected in divine nature. Paul says it goes down mortal, it comes up immortal. It goes down not in glory, but comes up in glory. And let us realize this, brethren, that in the kingdom, the Lord will not sit in judgment between us brethren. Let us realize this fully. He will not sit in judgment and spank anybody up in the kingdom who is declared faulty. And this is not what the Apostle Paul writes here. For in the original, contains the different thought. Because as well, I'm going to try to make it as plain to you as I can, because I know the Greek language, and the only translation that I have found that translates it correctly is Rotherham in the Emphasized Bible. Rotherham in the Emphasized Bible, in this verse here, translates it correctly. Now, notice here what it says. Now we go to the 11th verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we are persuading men, but we have been manifested to God. And I hope that we have been made manifest also in your consciences. Now, these two words here in the 11th verse, twice is translated, have been manifested to God and made manifest also in your consciences, is the identical word in the 10th verse that's translated will appear. Here what it says in the 10th verse, for we must all appear, the same word translated below, manifest. Therefore, let us read it according to what it should be, and that's how Rotherham also has it. Let us read the 10th verse then as it should be. For we must all be made manifest before the tribunal of the anointed. You notice now the difference? For we must all be made manifest. For we must all be revealed, let's put it in that word, before the judgment seat of Christ. When? Now, in this life, we are before the judgment seat of Christ. Not in the future, it is in this life. And in this life, we will be made manifest. Like I have mentioned it by the like the dog, you know, reveal itself. It was dressed in a sheepskin. But when the bone was thrown to him, he made it reveal itself. Which one was the sheep and which one was the dog? And so it is with us the same thing, brethren. The same word is translated in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul speaks about that each man's work will be tried as by fire. Now here is the third chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 13th verse. The identical word used by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians that I read to you is translated this way. The work of each will become manifest, for in that day will show it because it is revealed by fire. This revealed is the same word. Being made manifest is the same word in the Greek. And what happened, brethren? The Lord reveals us by different experiences in life. Just like in the illustration I brought to you with a dog dressed in sheepskin, throw the bone to it, reveals itself that it was a dog. And so the Lord throws some bones among us sometimes. Have you ever heard about bones of contentions? Yes? And what happens? We'll reveal ourselves. We grab them and pick them up and chew on them quite a bit. Sometimes, some of us, you know, start a little trouble here, and small, and then enlarge it, and sometimes real trouble comes into a class just from a small thing, a bond of contentions. And so the Lord permits those things, and we reveal ourselves. We will be revealed, brethren, in this life, here on the earth, and will be judged whether we'll be fit for the kingdom or not. Let us realize this. Let us take it into our hearts. Here is our trial in this age, in this life here. Today, tomorrow, as long as we're here. We don't know how long it may be ending tomorrow. Let us prove faithful today. Let us develop the Christ-like character that will be receiving the stamp of his approval, worthy for the kingdom. This is what we aiming for. And we're none of us, brethren, will enter that kingdom without going through these trials and without receiving his approval. Let us realize this fully. Again, we'll come to the words of James in first chapter, and we'll be winding up in James, the first chapter and the third verse. He says, knowing that the proof of your faith produces patience. Let us read from the second verse. Esteem it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the proof of your faith produces patience. But let patience have a perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, deficient in nothing. Now this is the proper translation of James' words. The proof of your faith. And what the apostle Peter, in the original word that I have translated to you, that the proof of your faith be more valuable than that gold that perishes. And just like I mentioned it, a doctor and goes through school and he gets his diploma through which enables to practice his trade. That's his proof of his ability that to practice his trade. It is with us, brethren, that we go through trials, through the schooling, through the development, and then we go through the testing, through the trial. And then whether we'll receive the stamp of approval by the Lord to be in the kingdom where we reign and bless the world. And let us realize none of us will go without being tried and tested. Now, in 1 Peter, the first chapter and the 22nd verse, we read, having purified your lives by the obedience of the truth to unfeigned brotherly love, brother, love each other from the heart intensively. Now this is for all of us. Having purified your lives by the obedience of the truth. Now that's the only way, brethren, that we can really develop ourselves, is obedience to the truth. To unfeigned brotherly love. Love each other from the heart intensively. Now, it isn't a question of just having faith. It's the question of having the proper faith, and also the question is that we go through and prove our faith. Let us realize that every trial, every difficulty of life, now on this earth, is a test of